Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you today.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Lots of stuff.
Ready and raring to go, and I'm sure you guys have some really good stuff. Have all the answers. And I understand we're going to be talking about the president today, so be careful, because he's a very powerful person.
That's right.
And, but, you know, powerful, it looks like with the 4 years of Trump had a lot of attention. It looked like the CIA and the FBI and the Justice Department and a few other people had more power.
Yeah.
They did that because somebody pulled off this Russiagate thing. So we'll have to figure out where Biden comes down on the side. Is he an insider, an outsider, or is he just confused?
Yeah.
So, okay, we want to talk about him, but a little bit of a follow-up on what's going on in Texas. You know, I don't know if these people, people from the legislature, when they come back home, I wonder if they'll be arrested. They claim they will be, and that's serious stuff.
Yeah.
What if they lose their next election? That's serious, serious stuff too. But anyway, he wants more identification and keeping up all with what's going on, and he's getting a little bit upset about this,
that
whole thing.
That speech was crazy.
So that was yesterday.
Yeah, he gave that speech yesterday.
But he was doing a favor for us because he was warning us. You know, he was warning us about the future. If we don't do exactly as he said, things could get worse. And I worry a lot. I don't want it to be worse. I want it to get better. So that's why we have to pay close attention to what he's talking about.
He does, indeed. And we actually have this clip, and it's gone around everywhere, where he basically says this is not hyperbole. Any laws, because, you know, Texas is the big thing now, and we'll talk about it in a second, any laws requiring an individual to present identification before voting, especially voting by mail where you're not there in person, he says is literally the worst thing since the Civil War. Let's listen to him. I mean, if this is not unhinged, I don't know. Maybe he's doubling up on his vitamins or something, but if we can cue that, here we go. So, Dr. Paul, when you go in the history books and you look at worst things that have happened in American history, you'll see number one, Civil War, 600,000 people dead, country burned, destroyed. Number two, people being forced to show IDs to vote, right? That's going to be the order of worst things in history.
That's some priorities, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing that I was thinking about when I listened to this was, you know, I thought the worst thing ever was January 6th.
That was last month.
But doesn't that diminish his concerns about 6th? Maybe that's on the back burner now.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be no concern. But I don't want that to be on the back burner because there's still a lot of people suffering from that. And, you know, we preach about any country in the world that violates civil liberties of their citizens. You know, we are the first there to complain about it. But we never have anybody ask somebody in the executive branch. When the media is there, they never say, yeah, but what about the violations that we do? Do we have the moral authority to complain about what other people are doing? Not that we should ignore it and say it's okay, but I think there's a bit of hypocrisy when they mistreat the people. So last month, it was, January 6th that we had to worry about, and now we have to worry about whether or not the people are properly registered, or what do you have to do to be able to vote? This is a terrible, democracy is going to end forever if they ask you to ID yourself. I don't ever remember anybody being asked. Does that mean, and I'm being a little facetious, but it's a serious question, and that is, if you don't have to have an ID, why can't you make the rounds?
Yeah, make the rounds.
Just go, well, we did this. And, when I had my court case many years ago, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
they made the rounds and they'd vote in different places.
Isn't that what killed Edgar Allan Poe, I think, in Baltimore? You used to be able to go to different polling stations and they'd give you a shot of whiskey for voting, and I think that's at least the rumor. But the other thing about his speech is it kind of, he's a little bit soft on those nasty old Confederates, because he said, not even the Confederates breached the White House during an insurrection. So maybe going a little bit soft. on the Confederates, you know, check him out a little bit. The other thing is, it's so weird, Dr. Walker. Here's the Texas thing. We touched on it yesterday for a different reason, but 51 Texas Democratic representatives got on a plane. They're in the minority. They got on the plane and they flew to Washington, D.C. on private jets, paid for by some pretty suspicious money, to shut down the Democratic process in Texas. And I know Democratic process is not ideal, but Tucker Carlson in his monologue last night said this was an actual insurrection because they tried to subvert a democratic process, which is the process of passing these new voter ID laws. And it makes it sound like the voter ID law says, you know, no minorities can vote, when in fact it was two things basically: show your ID to vote, especially by mail, and to instruct those in charge to go through the voting rolls, and people who are on those rolls who are not eligible to vote by virtue of not being a citizen or what have you, that they're struck from the polls. They can't vote. So it doesn't seem that radical to me.
Do you think there's any chance that he's gotten Delaware mixed up with Texas?
Yeah.
You know, because I understand the rules are stricter in Delaware than the new laws that the Texans are trying to pass.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to ask him those questions. You know, I have a, this might, I don't want to read this whole thing, but I can make my point. And a lot of people have made this point, is, you know, they're complaining that they're going to be required to ID, tell them who they are. You know, oh yeah, I'm so-and-so. And they say, which ID card? Well, you know, for years, and I imagine you had the same experience, the old-fashioned way was when you moved into a town and you wanted to vote, you registered to vote.
Yeah.
I live here now and I'm gonna be here, and there was a living requirement. So you couldn't come in 1 hour before the election's over or bounce around and never have to be ID'd. So then they say, well, what ID card are you gonna use? Well, my voter ID card.
Yeah.
But no, I guess they still thought they were being charged $5 for it or something to vote.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a lot of things that could be done so easily. But I have a little list here somebody provided on the internet, and this is for what we already do and take for granted, which I think is way too much for all these other things. But of course, here are just a start on it: Social Security cards, disability, welfare benefits, unemployment benefits, driver's licenses. To get cash out of a bank, to get a loan, to get a DR card or an CR card, to buy tobacco, beer, wine, whiskey, or get and that's only part of the list. I mean, we use IDs all the time. And then they say there's not enough. And we'll point out in a minute or two, there's some more stuff. They're trying to have more investigations and more control and get the master ID card, which is our passports.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is something that I'm, you know, very interested in, because I think it's so dangerous and it keeps moving along. Even the more absurd it seems, they just buckle down and work harder at it, and the people, you know, sort of ignore, well, it probably won't affect me if I needed to get my paycheck or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll have to just go ahead and do it.
Yes, it's not such a shocker that you have to show an ID to do some things, or maybe too many things. Let's put up that first clip just because it's a funny picture, and I like funny pictures, but this is Biden. Biden rages. The Confederates during the Civil War never breached the Capitol like the insurrectionists. You know, it's just nuts. But, you know, the thing is, they say that it's racist to require IDs. To me, it seems racist to expect that minorities don't have IDs. You know, doesn't it? Like, all those minorities, they don't have any IDs. Come on, that's ridiculous.
The whole system of affirmative action is based on the fact, that's why, you know, the libertarian minority or of any race, it's an insult to say, well, they need more help. They need before affirmative action. But I don't think they get affirmative action when they play basketball. They seem to do pretty well on that. But anything else, they say that we need to help them, but they never recognize that that in itself is admitting or claiming, well, you know, minorities are, you know, need help. And why can't they just say all lives matter? But that's sinful to say that. But anyway.
Well, the next thing we want to talk a little bit about, and this has been making the rounds, and actually, let's just start out with this next, the second clip, because our good friend Thomas Massie says it all here. This is from an article we talked about yesterday from Politico, and it was a little piece in the article, but it's very interesting. The Democrats are also planning to engage fact checkers more aggressively and work with SMS carriers to dispel misinformation about vaccines that is sent over social media and text messages. And Thomas Massie says, please tell me this is a typo. So the idea that somehow some Democratic political operatives are going to find a way to read your text messages, hey, Dr. Paul, I'm not too sure about that vaccine, right? And they knock on my door. We saw your text.
I saw one number. The surveillance will be into the billions of the times they survey on and looking for this information. Now this is pretty bad. It's done from a sense of insecurity and aggressiveness. Dictators have to always be in charge. And I think Thomas is absolutely right. This is very dangerous. And I wish we could tell him, Thomas, settle down. Why sweat it? You know, don't get too worried. It'll pass. You know these aren't serious people. Unfortunately, the people who promote these things are very, very serious. And if they have a setback, you think, boy, how can they stand up? You know, it's been proven that this thing is just a real mess and corrupt. They just buckle down and create a new program, you know, to how are we going to watch the people and see what they're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I don't know how people, hopefully they'll stand up, against this, but I think the next one we want to talk a little bit about is, if we're ready to move on, is this. And we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but Reason had a good piece, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about this U.S. Postal Service. Not only can they not deliver your mail, they need a bailout every couple of days, they're spending their money on spying on us. They have a program called the Internet Covert Operations Program. They monitor social media posts. They use facial recognition software and databases to monitor people to make sure that they are not part of extremist groups. And what's interesting about this, two things, Dr. Paul. One is that this all came out of the drug war. In 2017, as the article in Reason points out, there was this opiate problem. Remember that? Everyone was talking about opiate everywhere, opiate problem. So they got permission to spy on people to prevent the mailing of opium and the mailing of firearms. Well, like all government programs, they don't just go away when the problem goes away. They actually expand. So they expanded this operation to spy on our social media. And one of the things that they are allowed to do, U.S. Postal Service agents can assume fake identities online to try to get more information from you. And the second thing about this, and this is the most insidious and the most important part, they send the information they collect on Americans to fusion centers created by your favorite agency, Department of Homeland Security, which they assured you, oh, Ron, this is just to streamline things. So they send this data to the fusion centers that Homeland Security. From there, they're picked up by other members of the fusion centers, i.e. intelligence agencies in the U.S. like the CIA and NSA, who are not allowed to spy directly on you. But now they can go in and grab all that information from the fusion centers. It's an absolute cutout for the NSA and the CIA to spy on us.
And I expressed this to you a while ago. The thing that shocked me was, does this mean they're opening up our mail? That is so old-fashioned. The mail's on you. The mail and the information being spread around. Social media. And so social media is just not doing one little clip here and there. That's everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And opinions and whatever. So that to me is really, really bad. It's an expansion of a process of surveillance. And this is a whole thing. The basic problem is that people don't have enough respect and they don't demand one simple thing in a free society, and that is privacy.
Yeah, yes.
You remember the debate that was involved with the abortion thing. They said, does it say there's the word privacy doesn't even exist in the Constitution. Well, it doesn't need to be.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, if you're a free person, that's your life. That's supposed to be your privacy. So, no, privacy is not well respected. Matter of fact, it's getting worse every single day. And yesterday, I think we talked a little bit about people, you know, spying on their own families and their neighbors and turning them in. That's when it's really getting bad, and there's going to be a lot more anger. So maybe when a few more people get hurt by this, they'll wake up and say, hey, this is too much, like they have with, they finally got disgusted with lockdown.
Yeah.
But there's still some people out there that want to get to it in a different manner. It won't be quite like the arrest. Maybe we'll just work on it where they'll have to have a super ID, and it won't be, they'll have to have a way to ID people. So they will, and for their causes, you better be ID'd.
Yeah.
You know? But they certainly don't want to have identification for people who vote, because that's an
wrong.
Insult.
That's terrible. Well, the recent article did mention in April this internet covert action, program of the Postal Service reported, and this is the kinds of things that they're noting, quote, significant activity regarding planned protests occurring internationally and domestically as part of a rally for freedom and democracy. So this is the kind of thing they view as a threat, a rally for freedom and democracy. But, it is chilling, the idea that they are assuming false identities online. So not only do you have the FBI saying, hey, want to bomb something? Hey, want to bomb something? You know you do. You've got your local post guy. He delivers you your mail, then he goes back and pretends that he's some terrorist or something. Hey, you want to bomb something? It's hard to believe that people will stand for this. And put up that next clip, because we'll finish this out with Dr. Paul with a bit of good news. This is a group that often does good work, but Judicial Watch, now they have filed a lawsuit saying, hey, Postal Service, we need to know what's going on here. We need to know what you guys are doing and why your local postman is spying on you and pretending to be someone he's not.
I want to just mention, this was a little bit about what we were talking about before, that when things don't work, or the people aren't doing what the government wants, they respond by, buckling down. But here is an article that was in Zero Hedge, and it was Jonathan Turley wrote.
Yeah.
He says, the title is, or what he's complaining about, needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. And that's the government's idea.
Yeah.
Make it hard for people, penalize them, penalties, and this sort of thing. Take away their freedom. They're complacent. They won't wake up.
Yeah. That goes back with the fact checking, the text message.
Yeah.
Make it hard. If I text you and say I'm not keen on the vaccines, make it hard on me. Hmm. We'll send over some social workers to to attack.
Okay, I have one more. You have
on.
One?
Time. No, I think we move on to France. I mean, this is crazy. This is nuts.
Can we get the French one time helped us out? And one time, they had a president there by the name of General de Gaulle.
Yeah.
I don't know all the details about de Gaulle. He probably was a tough guy. But he also understood money better than most. he was the one that really, and we all be talking about the breakdown of the Bretton Woods Agreement, but the French were instrumental in this. But this is something different. This is an article. French president sets stricter health rules at the Cannes Festival. Well, the French at the Cannes, and the Cannes, I think, is in Canada. They're having this festival. And this is where they announce tougher set or stricter rules by new orders. And they're announced now, but they had to make the exception, at Cannes, because that would disrupt, the holiday of some people.
The elites.
They don't deserve to have to be monitored like everybody else. So they're coming down with promoting, I guess it's already in existence, the EU digital COVID certificate.
Yeah.
And the key measure announced by Macron will make the commonly caused health threat mandatory in all cultural venues, including cinemas, theaters, concert halls, starting on July 21st. And you say, well, that's France. France, they've all been more socialistic and all. But just think of the various countries that they're testing all these things and gadgets going on, and I just think the announcement was bad. Absolutely no need for this. And even though it's in France and Canada, it means that we ought to be aware that's what they're capable of doing. Because do they give a good reason? Is it defending liberty? Is it doing better for, you know, our privacy? Is it helping the economy? What's it doing? Well, there has to be a danger. Oh, well, national security, probably. Yeah. All these programs, national security, and also, you know, good for the economy. You know, there's always an excuse for this nonsense. They just do not, those individuals who are in charge and pushes these programs, they have no confidence that people are capable or have a desire to assume responsibility for themselves. And that's a big thing, because when government comes in and assumes the rule from cradle to grave, that they are the parent and they own the children and they do everything, and when you're very, very wealthy, like we have been and still to agree we are, we can afford a lot of mischief and a lot of mistakes and teach a lot of dependence, which is, you know, in a way the socialists like it. That's what we want. Yeah. We want dependence. So when we run out of money, they've been getting help from the government. So the only answer is going to be, well, the government's sending us money and it's not doing well. I mean, today, prices soaring.
Yeah.
The PPI went up about 1% in 1 month. I mean, what's going on? Then they'll say, the people will shout, we need more money. Yeah. Well, we need more money.
Free
stuff. So they do these things. They're testing, and they will not start with the principle of what should a free society look like, and should we have a free society, or do we like to be told by a percentage of people, 1, 2, or 3%, who are motivated enough to get charge of the government, to listen to them and tell us what to do, and the rest of the people go along with it to a certain degree.
A certain degree. Well, let's look at the next clip about Macron, because this is the it's pretty chilling, actually. He says, from August, anyone who wants to visit cafes, bars, or shopping centers must show a health pass that certifies they've been vaccinated or recently tested. I mean, this doesn't seem like a super good idea if you're thinking about tourism, which France relies on. Think about the logistics of this sort of thing if someone's coming from other countries. But he also said something the other day, and I was looking for the quote and I couldn't find it, but he said something like, the unvaccinated should bear the brunt of the burden for their choices of not getting vaccinated.
Punish.
But he's not the only loopy leader. And I actually found this little clip yesterday. This is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. New Zealand has been insane, really insane, and this woman really needs to take some Xanax or something. But listen to that. I think this is the first, I forget, 27 seconds of this. But she's talking about, you can only listen to government for information on COVID. We are the only source of truth. Let's cue this up if we can and listen to this crazy woman.
We will share with you the most up-to-date information daily. You can trust us as a source of that information. You can also trust the Director General of Health and the Ministry of Health. For that information, do feel free to visit at any time to clarify any rumour you may hear. COVID19.govt.nz. Otherwise, dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your...
When a government tells the people we are your only source of truth, that's when you have to start wondering.
Better. That sounds like a dictatorship.
Yeah.
The pass, this health pass that you have, it's not absolute, because some people just can't get it or have an excuse or whatever. But this is what they have to do. If you don't have access to a health pass, you have to show a negative PCR test.
Oh, that's accurate.
They're real good. We can make them positive. Which ones do you want today?
Yeah, a couple extra bucks and we'll make it negative.
So the testers call up Fauci. What do you need today? Do you need more cases or more deaths?
Yeah.
Or what do you need? We can make this test do anything you want.
Let's make a deal.
So show a negative PCR test and how about that? And get tested every 48 hours during the event that wherever you're attending. And they do this. They do this with a straight face. She looked like she believed what she was saying.
Yeah, She looked a little desperate too, though, don't you think? She looked a little unhinged. Like,
well, she might be. She is.
In fact, actually, I was just looking at Twitter before we started, and there are a lot of people in the streets in France now. They're not happy about this. So, power to the people.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
Well, my last thing, Dr. Paul, is an announcement. I sent out an update yesterday. If you're not subscribed at ronpaulinstitute.org, you can subscribe for free. But it's an announcement of another speaker at our Washington conference. This is someone who has really been very brave over the last year. I called her, I think, the most canceled woman in America. Let's put up this last picture. I'm not going to talk a lot about this person for obvious reasons. Dr. Simone Gold, the founder of America's Frontline Doctors. She will be speaking at the Ron Paul Institute conference in September. Information is available in the link that's in the description for getting tickets. Dr. Paul, today we are about 75% sold out.
Wow.
The fastest we've ever gone, so it will. And we still have some announcements to make, but some big ones.
You know, I'm thinking about her, but most of our speakers. You know, it costs a lot of money to get people to come under this day and age of flying, and everything is more difficult. Some people have to drive, but people are flying again now. But and it's also very expensive, and we just don't have a huge budget.
Yeah, that's
so,
a fact.
But she was quite willing to really, really help us and accommodate. But they all have done that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, they don't hold back and say.
Judge Napolitano, I mean.
Because they know that, you know, I distinguish the two things. There are some events that are money-making things, and that's I see this commercial. But most of the things that we deal with, the Mises Institute, you know, they don't, they will charge things, but they're always nominal charges. And that's the way I want to keep our organizations is, there'll be at times there'll be some fees made, but I'm just delighted that people are saying, and I've sensed it more, we've had more inquiries, and just like the numbers you're passing out each day, is people are anxious to get their ticket.
Yeah.
So I think though we're not quite as flamboyant with how great we are, people are slowly and steadily. I think growth like that, and it's very sincere, and people understand what we're doing. It's one of the reasons why we can have a good time at our conferences.
Yeah, and you know, like it's a good point you make about the ticket price, because we do keep them low because we're an educational charity. We want as many people as possible to see it, and that's why we really thank our gold and silver host committee members. They're the ones who put up the money, who put up much more than the face price of the ticket, and we give them something back. We give them some receptions where they can talk to the speakers and to our other close people. So these are the heroes, the ones who put up the money to help us bridge that gap between what we charge for admission and the real cost of putting on. And in fact, there's more information on being a host committee member if you click the link. If someone is interested in getting involved in that, and we've had some nice cocktail receptions with our host committee before, and it's always a good time.
Very good. I expect we're going to have a good time. I do want to thank our viewers today for tuning in. And we are looking forward to seeing and meeting so many of you at our conference. But I want to thank you, like Daniel does constantly, thank you for your support for what we're doing. But the threat is still there. We just have pointed out the threats, and they're coming from all over. And the one thing that has impressed me in a technical fashion about what's happened in the last year or two has been how universal this whole thing has been, worldwide. You know, I can understand why one country would go haywire and overreact to something. But this to me shows the strength of cultural Marxism. It has infiltrated, just sitting there. They didn't get in position of the universities and the various political organizations and the media and the movie theater just overnight. It is an educational effort and an influence. It's political. It costs a lot of money and time, but they have done their job in the sense of having a presence not only throughout the United States and undermine our educational system and our media and social media and all. That not only that, but they have really extended themselves, and all of a sudden it just exploded. And of course, the one big surprise that I spent time talking about over the years, and that is, why is it that people who seem to have benefited by free enterprise, and that's at all levels of income, Sometimes it's the people on welfare, but sometimes it's the big business people. You think, well, you know, they know what capitalism is all about and making profits, and they become millionaires and billionaires. Why are they helping these people? And it finally dawned on me that they aren't true believers in freedom. That is way down on the list, and they become partners. That's happened throughout history, and I think we have to be very much aware of it, because just because they're in business and make money, they're usually making money because they're in business with the government, like the military industrial complex. And right now the people who are in the medical industrial complex and the various things of this sort. So we're going to continue to monitor and do our very best to find out what really is going on. And once again, I want to thank all of you for tuning in today to the Liberty Report, and please come back soon.